continue with the last part of our program. We were flying SAA earlier in the morning. Now we will have men's first plan, which is forever. Diamonds. Right, I wish to welcome you, gentlemen from the SA Diamond Board. We'll deal with our normal formalities. When you started in the morning, you were not here. Introduce yourselves and the gentlemen from Treasury, and we'll also introduce ourselves so that you know who you are dealing with in the AG's office, and then we can get into the issues of the day.
Thank you, Chair, to the Chairperson of the Standing Committee on Public Accounts and members of SCOPA, as such. My name is Louis Lekani. I'm the Accounting Officer at the South African Diamond Board, and I'm accompanied by my Financial Manager, Mr. Johnson Itetra. Thank you.
Good morning, honourable members. I'm Mr. Gode, National Treasury's Technical Tax Specialist, and I'm also a member of the Diamond Board.
Oh, so in what capacity are you here? Are you here representing Treasury, or are you here as part of the Diamond Board?
I think I represent Treasury because the invitation was to meet directly from you as a Treasury representative.
Oh. How did this happen? I mean, how are you going to provide us with the special responses where we need Treasury clarification, when on the other hand you are a member of the Diamond Board? The reason we want Treasury here is if there are conflicts in terms of understanding or interpretation of the Act, Treasury, like the Auditor General's Office, they are there as neutral referees for objective, neutral information. I'm not supposing that there will be any, but I'm just, you know, I'm just raising that as a midpoint. I think Treasury should have taken that into account before they sent you. Huh? You're the right person. Oh, all right. My colleagues say you are the right person. So I'll see as we go on.
Morning, honourable members. My name is Andromeda Masamula. I'm the business executive responsible for the audit of SA Diamond Board. Lily Zonda, corporate executive auditor general.
Paul Sowell, parliamentary office auditor general.
Right, thank you. The members introduce themselves to the gentleman from the Diamond Board.
Gerard Koerman, SCOPA.
Anshin Reyes, SCOPA.
Bafi Silekule, SCOPA.
Bofokeng, SCOPA.
Tizam Kaba, SCOPA.
John Gomega, SCOPA.
Benson Smith.
Right, thank you. I'm Comrade Temba Goji, to chair this committee. Right. I suppose you have copies of this program with you. If you don't, it can be made available to you. This document. Please make it available to
Thank you.
having made the introduction, I will start with the Honorable Treasurer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I see in your annual report the scope and the mandate of the SA Diamond Report Board is that of a regulatory authority. And you are responsible for control over the possession, the purchase and sale, the processing and export of diamonds and for matters connected thereof. Now we know that diamond business especially is a high security business. The control, the movement, the sale of diamonds are controlled to a very, very high degree. So we expect the Diamond Board to really sparkle in this respect. But we're disappointed to note that the Auditor General gave you a qualification in his audit report, and for the primary reason that your asset management isn't quite what it should be. The Auditor General identified a number of weaknesses regarding to assets. Assets could not be traced from one location to the asset register, and vice versa. Assets were incorrectly classified. A certain number of assets were not tagged, and some were incorrectly tagged, and so on and so forth. Now, can you please explain to us how do you, your business, you know, as I said, so high security, tracking, highly precious products. How can you set an example if you want to control an industry and your own business is not in order?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Honourable Member, by expressing, you know, your dissatisfaction in terms of our asset management policy. I must maybe indicate that we're not really having assets in terms of diamonds, as people think that we could be having some stock of diamonds at the building in 240 Commissioner Street. No, we don't keep diamonds. These are the assets they're talking about, debts.
Yeah, no. Let's keep it on the serious note. No, we're very clear. You don't have diamonds in your offices. And we're not talking about assets, we're not talking about diamonds. So, yes, but to respond to the question. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm saying respond to the question, but let's erase the first part there.
Oh, okay.
Clear that you don't keep diamonds in the office. When you talk about assets, we understand what it's all about.
Thank you, Chair. These are assets like chairs that have been moved around from one office to the next. These are paper tags that sometimes got peeled off from the chairs as people continue utilizing the assets. And if you look at our response, you know, to the Portfolio Committee, you have already responded on this, and this was within 1 month after the Auditor General left our office.
So you're saying this has been fixed?
Has been completely fixed within a month after the thing. Like I said, Chair, we had a pool office where we made some renovations for the sake of the Inspectorate Division, and chairs were moved from one office to the next because there are certainly no walls barring one cubicle from the other.
No, that's fine. We're happy with that. Yes, Honorable Chair.
Okay, I know that, and we accept that answer. And I just want to comment, it's just a pity that you didn't put it right, or it wasn't right, until after the Auditor General had to kind of note this in his annual report. And then you acted very quickly, it seems. But it would have been better if you corrected it immediately, you became aware of it. Especially in the light of you, it wasn't a big job to you. It wasn't not an onerous task. What you put your mind to is that you corrected very, very quickly. But we're happy that it's now correct, and we accept that. Thank you.
Oh, that's all you had. All right. Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, see, this is what we don't usually have. The Auditor General raise an issue and the editor department proactively deals with the issue. That's what we want to hear. We don't want people to come and say, we will. Because, I mean, it's like people are waiting to come before us before they can take action. There is no sense of being in charge. Rapul.
Thank you, Chase. Just a follow-up question for
you. Yeah, just choose another one.
Thank you, Chair. It's am I clear now?
Yeah.
It's a follow-up for about the assets. You know, more often we have been told assets could not be physically verified. Now, the answer there is no, that has been put right. I just want to check who must then physically verify them after, if it's not the auditor. I contend it's the auditor who must physically verify the assets. Can the entity itself or the department verify the assets after the auditor has said they could not be physically be verified? What really happens with the verification when they say things are corrected?
Yeah, Ripple, I think the taste of the pudding is in the eating. They're saying to us that all assets can be traced from the location to the asset register and vice versa. That's what you're saying. To the incorrect classification in the fixed asset register has been sorted out. That all assets are now tagged, and those that were incorrectly tagged are now correctly tagged. And the incorrect that is assets that did not satisfy the definitions as indicated there, which were recognized in the financial statement, that has also been attended to in the annual report for the year ending in a few weeks' time. That will have been corrected. And that the annual renewal of the useful lives and the residual values of assets are now done annually. Because that is the fifth point that was identified by the auditors under asset management. If you say everything has been fixed, you are saying that all the things that was mentioned here have been sorted out, have been attended to. Is that the correct understanding in terms of the subset of everything has been fixed within a month?
Chen, my response, especially to item 5, which is on the useful lives and residual values of assets, that they needed to be reviewed. We are appointing an independent zone appraiser to do that work on our behalf, because that can only be done by somebody else independent. I think the important thing, this is a new system of approaching fully depreciated assets of our entity. What is happening?
I don't think that we have any qualms with the measures we've taken. All we want is to check one. Appropriate measures have been taken to deal with all the items identified. And on item E, yes, you contract people who are going to do the evaluations for you. If that is what you've done, by that end of this financial year, when the Auditor General comes to your office, you will find that this item has been attended to. If that provision has been made, then we're fine. All we wanted was just to get commitment from you that day. When you say we have attended to that question of asset management, you have attended to all these sub-items that are identified. And consequently, the Auditor General will be able to say there is completeness and evaluation of your assets. That is completeness in terms of being able to reconcile the assets, the physical assets, and what is the asset register, and also the valuation of your assets. That is what you have done, and that's what is provided for. Then indeed, you have attended to that to that item. Comment, okay.
CEO, would I be correct to say if you are making a monitoring controls to ensure that the compliance is improved and regulations do okay? Why do I say that? It's because section 53 of PFMA 1. It looks that if according to it, supposed to submit its annual budget to within the recorded time. But looks here, you never submit your annual, didn't submit your annual budget to the Minister of Minister and Energy Affairs within the recorded time or class time. You agree with that?
Chair, our response to the late submission of our annual, budget for approval by the minister was due to the fact that the chairperson of the board was out of the country and it was delayed only with 3 days. And as soon as he arrived, then he signed the documents and then he forwarded them through to the minister.
Thank you, sir. You're done.
Yeah, incomplete strategic plan.
In terms of the strategic plan, Chair, I'm not sure if at all members are aware that we are undergoing these changes into the new entity referred to as the South African Diamond Board and Metals, Precious Metals Regulator. This will help, and I think by the 1st of April, which is in the new year coming. As such, because new board members have been appointed to this new entity and the outgoing board members obviously will have to terminate their services, we have been requested to keep everything else that's long-term in terms of strategic planning for the new board members that will be arriving into the new entity. And this has been constantly discussed with our principals, the Department of Minerals and Energy, and they've been providing a guideline in terms of how to handle short-term versus long-term issues.
Now, did you still have a question?
Yeah.
I never asked you. Still. Oh, all right. Continue.
I have many.
Huh? You are fine.
I have many questions.
You have many questions?
Yes.
Oh, no, let me stop you. Let me pass you for the time being. But follow up on what you just said in terms of the transitional processes that are in place and how they impact on long-term planning. The audit report does indicate that you do not have a human resource plan in place. Why has there been no human resource plan? Do we still not have a plan? Is it also part of the... No, I don't think this is part of the long-term plan. It's, yeah, what is the situation? Because in terms of this audit report, there's no human resource plan.
Chair, I would agree that it's part of the long-term strategic plan in terms of resourcing the new entity. However, also I wouldn't like to deny that the South African Diamond Board itself, from the diamond section, part of it, should have had a long-term strategic plan in terms of their HR. Chair, we are presently a staff of 32 people in total, and we anticipate that in the coming 2 months we'll be around 65, which doubles the figure. And that would justify that we should jointly with the new entities have a long-term strategy in terms of obviously the diverse nature of the services that we'll be providing both for gold and the precious metal units, and especially for the jewelry sector as well and the downstream value add. And I think we are working on that already. You'll be seeing lots of posts now being advertised to fill up some of the posts in there. We do have an HR person now that has been appointed to look into those. And I think, you know, by the end of this year, once the two entities are all in there, we would be having a long-term strategic plan in terms of our HR.
End of this year, I'm talking about the financial year or the calendar year?
Calendar year.
So as things stand right now, everything is on hold in terms of developing an HR policy or an HR human resource plan because of these changes that are going to come?
No, Chair, I wouldn't say so. We are working on that plan, as I'm saying, that you'll be seeing lots of posts being advertised now. But this is jointly with the Department of Minerals and Energy. And that strategic plan obviously has not been approved by the present board because these are outgoing board members. It needs to be approved by the new board members that will be in office by the 1st of April.
I see that the Auditor General has also picked up the fact that the board had entered into a contract with Africa Legend, which is an IT company, which was signed by a junior official, or maybe it was signed by an official who was not necessarily having the delegated authority. And that contract had no duration in terms of lifespan. I want to find out what is the state of that contract as of now, and how did it happen that an inappropriate official could, especially having such a small staff as it were, could entangle or could contract the board or could be able to do what he or she did in the presence of management. What I'm saying is that you're all there. It's a small operation, but you end up having this kind of situation. What is the state of affairs vis-à-vis this particular contract?
Chair, maybe just to give a background in terms of that IT consultancy services. We deployed those services because our IT person resigned, and it's only two people. One is doing the financial analysis, not statistical analysis for the report in terms of the Kimberley process. And that one's simply a person who, on day-to-day the basis, manages our systems in the office. And then we procure the services of this person simply on day-to-day basis, looking after our systems, our backups and all. The contract was signed by us, and it was not signed by a junior person, it was signed by the financial manager, who's part of the management team. But however, it was not signed by the person that we deployed. And I think it was just a mistake from his side because it was signed the next day. He assumed that that contract was signed and that we had a copy of it. That person is no more in our services because we have subsequently employed somebody on a full-time basis for the past 8 months, I think. This person has been in our employment, he's our IT person, so that contract is no more in existence. It ran only for 3 months or 4 months. As a caretaker fee only.
So the contract is no longer an issue as such. That's fine. Now, in terms of the how does the coming changes affect your own contractual position with the Diamond Board? Are there any ramifications or implications?
Yes, there could be, Chair. But that's the sole discretion of the Minister of Minerals and Energy, because she appoints the accounting officers of state-owned institutions reporting under her.
Yeah, no, I understand. All I'm saying is that as of now, and as far as you know, there's nothing that affects the contractual arrangements that you have had all along.
No.
That's fine. Lastly, the Auditor General reports that the FA Diamond Board does not have a credit control policy. Is this still the case? Is it also one of those long-term strategic issues that will only be dealt with as and when the new entity has been reconfigured?
Yeah. Sure, I think maybe I would be, because I've got my financial manager as well in here, maybe I should give him an opportunity to say something to the chair. But as far as we know now, we've got a total of, I think, 9 policies that have just been approved by the board.
Yes.
And that includes all those financial policies that the chair is referring to. But Mr. Tobi, would you like to add?
So in short, what you're saying is that subsequent to this report, there are policies. What?
The policies were on a draft. You know, stage when they visited our office, and we indicated to them that we'd like to take them through to the board first for approval. And subsequently, these have been approved, and we really went out outsourcing to try now, especially the supply chain management policies and all. We spend more than what we are procuring in order to come up with the procurement policy.
Yeah, and I think it was only appropriate for them to have reported the way they did, because until those policies have gone through all the necessary processes, they could not be, you know, reported on as policies that are in place, because they were not there for implementation. They could not be implemented until they are, you know, they are ratified by their relevant, you know, structures and they undergo the various processes. Maybe Nyambos, you want to add to what you said already.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Switch, yeah. Switch that one on your left arm. Just remove that paper there. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Yes, I would like to confirm that the Auditor General also indicated at the bottom of the policies that we had in a draft form that they were only awaiting the board approval, which has since happened. The policies, what we were relying on mainly at the Diamond Board was the effectiveness of the internal control system that we had in place. But in the absence of the policies to support the internal control procedures, the Auditor General felt that we should have the policies, which we fully agree with them, that the policies are there to guide those internal control procedures, which we've done.
Well, of course, we always remind entities and departments that having policies in place is merely the beginning. The issues of compliance, those policies might be in place, but if nobody complies with them, they're as good as not being there. So, while that is an achievement on its own, you don't have to rest on a lot of say where all the police in place. Come on,
I fully agree with you. It's a deadline in the implementation of the policy. Can I just, for completeness sake, the 10 policies that the Auditor General referred to in his annual report in the previous financial year, he refers to 10 policies and procedures. Of which supply chain management was one, the other was the fleet management, the consultants, the fraud prevention plan. I just want to confirm they were in draft form the previous financial year, that all 10 have been completed by in operation. That's the first question. And secondly, with your audit committee, I see it's only got three people, the chairperson plus two. My question to the CEO, whether you attend your audit committee meetings on a regular basis, and how many meetings do you have annually for your audit committee?
Thank
thank you. The policies that have been referred to on the annual report have all been developed, documented, and debated and approved by the board. Now we are in the process of implementing them and making employees aware that for anything that needs to be done within for the process of the board, these policies will have to apply as approved. So the policies are in place.
Chair, on the issue of the audit committee and my attendance, I think we've got six different committees that have been held four times in a year each. And I'm attending all those committees, obviously, including EXCO and including board as well.
No, I can see this. But my question is, one of these committees is the audit committee. And I'm asking whether the CEO attends all the audit committee meetings under the chairmanship of Mr. Bessie.
Chair, yes, I do attend those meetings. Whenever I'm available, obviously, yes.
I wanted to put it out that you attend them religiously, or it's a question of as and when. I mean, I think the essence of this question is, do they become an integral part of the program, or is it that when you have nothing else to do, you can pop in and all that kind of stuff? I think that is what we want to find out. Because it has a very important bearing in terms of your, you know, your internal controls. And that is why we have that interest of finding out exactly. Are you attending? Are they part and parcel of your program?
Yes, Chair, they are part and parcel of my program. Maybe just to add again, we have just appointed the CA who is going to be our internal auditor. And that we finalized with the audit committee in the past 2 weeks. We've been looking for this person and finally we have got this person.
Just to put it more bluntly, how many audit committee meetings did you have in the previous financial year? Up to March 2006, and how many of those audit committees did you attend as CEO? Was it four audit committees and you attended all four? Was it two audit committees and you attended none? I just need the feeling of the previous financial year, how many meetings were there and how many did you attend?
If I should just maybe, I cannot come up with an exact figure, but to be honest, we've got more meetings than what it was scheduled, as you see them on the annual report, especially of the audit committee, because the chairperson is within the building, and every time, whenever there's anything else that we need to discuss with him, and we obviously need them. Also in terms of staffing, like I say, we've been in discussion with him. He was responsible, obviously, for advising us in terms of appointing the relevant person who's going to sit as an internal auditor. But I think more than 50% of those meetings I did attend, if I must indicate that.
All right. I also see that somebody owes you 60,000. Yeah. Yeah, except I owe the board an amount of 60,000. Now, what have you done with this data? See, it was not all for legal action. The person could not be traced. Where are we with this debt?
We have referred the keys to the debt collectors.
Okay. How did the debt originate? I see the terms that say we're not supposed to be raising debt as a board. I mean, in terms of your operations, that is not supposed to be a prevalent factor. Not that I'm saying it's prevalent, it is okay. How did it come about?
Chair, as far as I remember, it was in 2003, and there was this client who is a licensed dealer who came through to the export center, you know, our division where rough diamonds are being exported. He presented a diamond, of which a rough diamond, if you're looking at the 60,000, is actually 15% of the actual value, sales value of that rough diamond. And he presented under the pretext that the diamond was temporarily imported in the country, therefore origin was not South Africa, and then it had to be re-exported from the country. We tracked up on terms of the J registers, the audit trail of the last import which bared that very same diamond, and we could not reconcile with that type of stone that he was re-exporting. And then we came to a conclusion that it's actually a South African rough diamond stone which was being exported as if it was imported as a non-South African stone. And we requested him to come up with the J registers and all, and we checked it up as well in terms of the producer, and then it was confirmed that it was a South African stone. Then we levied the 15% on the total sales of that stone. It came up to 60,000 rand. And we persisted to collect that, and the client was like giving us wrong addresses and all. And then we went to the debt collectors to present the case, that they can collect it on our behalf.
And they have not yet collected it?
Not yet collected. They also wanted more money than the 60,000 rand that we are about to collect. And we felt we can only pay on top of it. If they do collect that, we will be able then to pay a certain percentage of the actual amount collected. Because for us to deploy 120,000 rand to exercise, you know, to collect 60,000 rand, then we'll still be in the negative.
Mm. Alright. I want to bring the next to a close. Committee.
Are we going to those investigations? Thank you.
No. Yeah, he is closed. You said you had questions, sorry. No, fine. Yeah, not continue.
Thank you. I want to ask some questions on this investigation that we had in our last hearing, and also the last resolution that we took. But just before I get to that, something that might touch on that. Just for clarity, let's see, on page 25 of your report, if you look at page 25 of your report, you see the figures for 205, this is the monthly import of unpolished diamonds, you know, the year 204 compared to 205. Now, if you take the 205 year, we imported 753,336 carats. Is that the right figure, or is it? Is it 753,000 carats?
Let's just ensure, CEO, that when you respond, your mic is on, because we are recording the proceedings.
Yeah. Okay, now, just the next column there, the value there in US dollars is $601 million. It's $601 million US dollars.
Yes.
Okay. Now, if you divide, these are unpolished diamonds.
Yes.
That are being imported, and who are they being imported from? From many countries or one or two countries?
This is what we call the London mix. That's the Beers assortment that's been re-imported for the site holders in South Africa.
So where do they originally come from?
They come to different mix, Namibia, Botswana, South Africa, in terms of percentage. The contribution of South African diamond into that parcel would be around 15%.
Now, Now, if you look at the amounts here and the carrot, then the value of these carrots are $798 per carrot. Right? Uncut carrot. Now, if you go to the previous page, on page 23, there we have a similar scenario, also 204 versus 205. Now this is the De Beers unpolished diamonds exports for the year 204 versus 205. I take it this is from South Africa being exported, right? Now the column there is the carats. There is 15 million carats, am I right?
Yes, that's the total production in the past year, in 2005.
And the value of that being $1,235 million. That's a lot less.
That's $1 billion.
Yes.
Which is 7.8, in terms of the exchange rate, billion rand, 7.87 billion rand.
But isn't that a lot less per carat, uncut carat?
Can I perhaps explain the two scenarios? I think because this is the total production from all the beers mines. This includes what we call not goods that are not economic to cut and polish in the country. That's close to industrial goods. The column under 25 indicates gem quality stones. Those are the stones that have been sorted which are suitable only for manufacturing purposes in South Africa. But when you're looking at the total production, you're looking at the total production in terms of stones that are below the category of $500 to $600 per carat. And those, that's what we refer to as Indian goods, which is designed for the Chinese and Indian markets, sold by the peers in those markets.
Thank you very much, sir. Now, in terms of our last hearing that we had with you, the one issue that we took up there was the investigation that the Auditor General had regarding the export of a, it was about 3.9 tons of uncut diamonds in 1993 with a value. It was last year valued by $900 million, on which no tax was paid. Now this happened 13 years ago, and we, in our resolution, said that, you know, we, and I'm reading to the committee, note of concern the significant weaknesses highlighted in the audit so-and-so. Following issues raised, the validity of the exemptions given under 63 of the Act. Limited documentation, drastic decline in the whole scheme, and then we ask for. The committee therefore recommends that A, the relevant state institutions initiate legal proceedings with a view towards resolving the Section 59 exemption in question. And then we ask here, special meeting should be convened by the Auditor General for the purpose within 30 days after the receipt of the resolution. Now, this meeting did take place, but in our briefing that we had from the Auditor General, it says, with regard to the above-mentioned report, the Auditor General convened a meeting in Pretoria to convey the detail of the resolution to the state institutions involved. It was agreed that the Department of Mineral Energy and National Treasury would take the matter further. Now, at the time of compiling this briefing note, this is now a few weeks ago to us, the Auditor General had not been informed of any progress in writing in this regard. A telephone confirmation with the advocate at the Department of Mineral Energy confirmed that there had been certain correspondence between the Ministers of Finance and the Department of Mineral Energy Affairs regarding the finalization of the legal proceedings. The detail of the correspondence has been requested. Now, could you please give us just a backup on what has been happening since that resolution? Thanks.
Chair and Honourable Member, the issue of the London stockpile I think has been discussed. That's true that in my last appearance here at Scopa we had a discussion on that issue and that the resolution was taken by this House and it was forwarded through to the Department of Minerals and Energy, and it was also recommended that Mr. Wally van Heerden should convey a meeting with all the stakeholders of which you were part, and the Department of Minerals and Energy as well, and SARS, South African Revenue Services, the Commissioner was also present. And we've had our input, and I think Martin will also come through here to help me because he was part of the meeting. And we left it to the compliance officer at the Department of Minerals and Energy, and I think Martin Korte as well at Treasury to advise accordingly to the principal, it means the minister. And my coming here yesterday when I was talking to some of the officials of the Department of Minerals and Energy, they indicated to me that this issue will still be addressed with the House.
It will still be addressed with
the Standing Committee on Public Accounts. I'm not sure if at all if Martin would like to add some, but they've been reassured, they reassured me that this will still be taken through with the House.
Okay.
Honourable Members, what Mr. Sidi Khan has just indicated to you is correct. We had a meeting on the 22nd of February 2006 with the Auditor General to enact the decision of SCOPA. We subsequently copied the minutes of the meeting to both ministers. And I also was notified that there was a communication between the Minister of Finance and the Minister of Mineral and Energy, but the content of the last deliberation, it seemingly led to the newspaper report that the deal was struck with the deals. I wasn't party to the information contained. So that's a separate process which probably is at the political level, and I can't add any further information on that.
All right. Yes, Comrade Swift.
You said, put up to that, Mrs. Legan. I think, as you well know, this issue took us almost over 30 years to discuss it. And then the problem happened actually during the old regime. As you know, you have got all that story. And then the problem, by the time that we wanted to get all those billions of rand or millions of rand which has been exported on Akas diamonds, by then, I think the problem came from the issue of saying the documents were lost, couldn't be found by then, because we were looking for that agreement of Agreement 59, where they concur with Section 53 and all of those. And then that was the problem that we had by then. And some of us, even were mandated, we did go to Kimberley and to deal with those two things. Director of that mine energy. And then we explored all this. Still couldn't find the how to solve that. Now my question is, if I may understand it very well, as it was started by both Mineral and Energy and SCOPA, if it is now referred to the House without any proper report to us, what does it mean? Does it say it means that sorry, SCOPA, this is above your head. It will only be heard in the Parliament. That's the approach, because we are still expecting a full answer, because we even refer, in 2001, we had to get into a state law advisor to find out and to come up with full information, because the problem again was that evaluator, government evaluator, which had a problem. And if you remember, we were still using, I don't know if we are still using, we are still using that information which came from Belgium by then. Now, that was the problem. And then everything we were supposed to follow, because we are together with the patients, we have got full story and we understand. Now, I wanted to know when we get answered that the matter will be referred to the people who have never followed it. I understand if it is followed, I mean, it's sent to the palace, I mean, to the parliament. it would, after the COPA has got the related issues and have well understood, we would have to direct the House, because some of the committees did not sit on it. Now, I wanted to know why it jumped and put it.
No, okay, let's do this. I think we might be burdening the Diamond Board if they were to respond to that question. The people are supposed to respond is Minerals and Energy. In terms of process, they've already done their part at that level. And I think that by early February, we had initiated a process that would have seen Minerals and Energy answering that question to us. But because of parliamentary programs, we couldn't, and our own program that was so full, we couldn't put another date until now. So I think let us remain focused on that one. And unfortunately, we do not have Minerals and Energy with us here today because of an administrative oversight on our side to inform them to be here. If they were here, I think your person would be very relevant and be well directed. I think what needs to be noted is our concern that it's a long, long time ago that we took this resolution. And it is a long, long time since you last met in February, which is more than 12 months ago. And still, there is no resolution. See, if we take resolutions here in scope and take 2 years to have it action, I don't think that's a desirable situation. But like I'm saying, I don't think really it is to be put to you. And I suppose maybe the official, if he said, or she says to come to Parliament, to the House, it might just have been a generic term. It will still come to us, and it must still come to us. I think it is up to us to find time since our program. I think after March, I think it's going to be more flexible in terms of putting time for other businesses, other hearings. So I think we can take it up from there. I sincerely would want us to close that item, unless if there is something you want to add. But coming from the members, I would really want us to put it to rest. Except that the two people who have their hands up, I'll give these two comrades and then close the matter. Yes.
Chair, maybe I must just apologize for the word that I used, House. I was referring to the scope, but sorry, not to Parliament. I think that's the mistake that came through. The report must be tabled with SCOPA. That's what the Department of Minerals and Energy said. Sorry about the miscommunication.
Commit P and then Commit Koranov.
Thank you, Chair. Now, I concur with what's been said. There's just two issues that is of concern to me, and that is, first of all, there were newspaper reports that deal was made, and we are happy that if that is the case, at least the thing has come to an end. However, what do worry me a bit is, you know, this whole thing has come about by a special investigation that the Auditor General's office has done and has spent quite a lot of money on and has been busy with for many years. And I think what was upsetting to us was the fact that in the briefing that the Auditor General's office had with us 2 weeks ago, right up to that stage, they haven't had any communication whatsoever, and for the fact that they were actually initiated this thing in the beginning and running with it, I think that is totally unacceptable, and those blind communications, I think, would be seriously improved. Thank you.
Chair, I agree with your decision, which is fine, but I think it's not only Department of Minerals and Energy that should be part to conclude this issue, because there's also a tax issue and on the decision which was made. So I would think that National Treasury should also be part of this, providing the answer together with Minerals and Energy.
All right, let's leave it at that. My understanding is there was this meeting, there were various options that were put on the table. It was now for the executive authorities to decide on which one. And what we want is which one has been decided upon. So I think for me the matter is pretty closer to conclusion as long as the relevant people take the necessary decision. Yeah, I want to bring this encounter to a close, and thank you, gentlemen from the Diamond Board. Unfortunately, you don't keep diamond in your offices. So, but anyway, thank you very much, and I hope you, having fixed your asset management issues, I suppose they will ensure that you have no qualification. But even the assets of matter that appear, we certainly do not want them. It must be clean records. It is possible. We have four entities and departments that have clean audits. We certainly want to add more to those departments and entities. But we thank you very much for coming through. And you will hear from us when we write our report. We should have its recommendations in terms of what we think you can do to sort out the problems. But thank you very, very much. Agent Office, Lenewoch, Kamuso, Aurejuan. Thank you very much, members. The last item of the closure, the will address it. Nyambonu Komba Hengal, who's an hour, man. So. Thank you.